Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy Wednesday to all you fine folks out there. I'm Tiki Barber, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. BT is still out. He may be out for the rest of the week, depending on how St. John's does in the play-in game. They are playing ASU out at the University of Dayton Arena. That's the second, as Ackerman just told us, of the play-in games. The first four, as they're wont to be called, in the NCAA tournament. The first game is at 6:40 this afternoon, just after our show on True TV. NC North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State. We don't care about that game. We just care about the St. John's game. Lots of fun stuff to talk about today. You can get us at 212-855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Facebook at Tiki and Tierney as well. We're going to talk, obviously, a little bit about the NCAA tournament because it's right around the corner. And our 5 o'clock Eastern, our 2 p.m. Pacific hour with Seth Greenberg, who is ESPN's college basketball analyst, also in that 5 p.m. hour to Pacific. We're going to talk to Richard Sherman, cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. But lots of great things to hit today. But I'm going to start with football, and it's going to begin on the NFL level, but it's going to trickle my thoughts into the college football level because of what we just found out regarding Tate Martell's transfer. D-Cell, get him up to the U down at the University of Miami. Now, let me set this up with what we're seeing in the National Football League. Quarterbacks are getting paid. I mean, seriously paid. Quarterbacks in the National Football League. We just saw Aaron Rodgers' deal, which is going to pay him $33 million a year. Russell Wilson is about to be up for his deal with the Seattle Seahawks, even though some people are speculating that he might get traded. Interestingly, maybe. This is a tangent to the New York Giants. Everybody's denying it. But Matt Ryan, let's just look at some cash earnings. Matt Ryan, $44.7 million he's making this year. Nick Foles, who won a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's an icon down in Philadelphia. $30.7 million he's making this season. Kirk Cousins, we all know his fully guaranteed deal that he did with the Minnesota Vikings is paying him $28 million. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Most of these guys are making $20-plus million. It's game-changing, life-changing money. And look, these guys have earned it. They played all the way through their college years because you have to in the NFL. They get into the National Football League, which is sometimes a land of bust, and you can get on the wrong team with the wrong coordinator and things just don't work out for you. And what could have been a promising career gets derailed by forces outside of your control. But a lot of these guys who are really good, Eli is another example, perfect example, who's made over almost $200 million, maybe even over $200 million in his NFL career. That's generational wealth. And I say generation. I'm not just talking about you and your kids, not even your grandkids. That's, if you do it correctly, that's like great-great-grandkids money that you make playing a sport. I hate to quote Warren Sapp, but I will in this case because it was an awesome one. Playing a kid's game, making king's ransom, especially at the quarterback position. And so we become obsessed with quarterbacks. Obsessed. We got to get our franchise quarterback. We got to find the right guy. This guy's going to be our player for the next 15 years, and we're going to pay him $180 million or whatever the number may be. We're going to pay him until we can't pay him anymore. We got to have a quarterback. We got to have a QB to win a Super Bowl. The great ones always have the QB. It's not necessarily true, but historically, you got to have a pretty good quarterback to get to and win a Super Bowl. And so teams have become obsessed with them. Media has become obsessed with quarterbacks, and fans have become obsessed with quarterbacks. And it's all hunky-dory and good and well in the NFL because it's a job, right? It's your job. You get paid to play a game, it's okay to be obsessed with quarterbacks in the NFL because it makes you win, or helps you win, I should say. The problem with all this money that's being thrown at quarterbacks is that the idea of all this money is starting to trickle down into the college ranks. Now, this is different than the I'm going to pay Johnny Manziel because he's a superstar and won a Heisman and his brand is exploding and he should be able to capitalize on jersey sales, or if someone wants to send him to a card show and sign 5,000 autographs and make, you know, $15,000 or $20,000. That's one conversation. I'm all for that as well. But this is a different look at this. Kids in high school who are really good football players at the quarterback position often are deciding where they're going to school, not based necessarily on what's the best fit, but almost, it seems like, predominantly these days, who's going to give me, as a quarterback, a great high school quarterback, a five-star, a blue chipper, the best chance to get to the National Football League so that I can go make $25 million to $32 million, or hell, in the next couple of years, $35 million a year. Who's going to give me the best chance to do that? And that's how these high school quarterbacks pick their schools. The problem is there's only about six or seven, maybe, probably less than that, to be honest with you. There's maybe three or four of these elite schools that are going to guarantee you entree into the NFL simply because of the system they run or the coaching that you're going to get. Ohio State is one of them, or was one of them under Urban Meyer. And that's where Tate Martell decided to go to school. Right? And it worked out for him, at least he thought it was, because he was in line to compete for the starting quarterback position. But guess what? It didn't happen. He lost the quarterback starting job to Dwayne Haskins. And Dwayne Haskins had a hell of a season. Threw for 50 touchdowns, was just a presence for Ohio State. If it wasn't for that one collapse against Purdue, they might have been playing in the college football playoff. Dwayne Haskins was a stud. He's likely to be a top 10 pick in the National Football League in this upcoming draft. But where does that leave Tate Martell, who lost the competition, who lost out on the competition? Now look, Dwayne Haskins is leaving. He left for the National Football League. Tate Martell could just stay at Ohio State and compete for the starting job next year, which should be his, right? He was the incumbent, the heir apparent. Dwayne Haskins is gone. Hey, this is it's my team. But you know what happened in the interim? Justin Fields at the University of Georgia kind of did the same thing that Tate Martell did, but did it before Tate Martell did. Said, you know what? I can't compete against Jake Fromm, so I'm going to transfer out of here. I'm going to enter my name in the transfer protocol, and I'm going to go to a place where I think I can win or have been guaranteed the starting job, Ohio State, and that's going to give me a chance to get to the National Football League. Well, you know what it did to Tate Martell? The next day, he put his name in the transfer protocol so that he could move and go someplace else and continue his college football career so that he could, let's all repeat, get to the NFL and make $25 to $35 million a year. I get it. Players get unhappy with the situations that they're in because they feel like they can't compete, or probably worse, they don't want to compete. They want to be guaranteed the starting job. They want to be able to be told, I'm going to play for 2 or 3 years, and at the end of those 3 years, we're going to be competing for a national championship, and you're going to get drafted in the first round and get a chance to make millions of dollars. This is what these kids want. And what's lost is the idea, the tenet of competition. I understand that sometimes you lose out in competitions, that doesn't mean you can't try to compete and beat out the guy in front of you. The NCAA, unwittingly, or maybe wittingly, have created this free agency in college football. And I say it's free agency because it seems like there's no penalty for leaving anymore. It used to be automatic. I'm going to transfer out. I don't like the school that I'm in. You know what? I got to sit out a year. I understand that. They might over-recruit. They might recruit somebody in. The competition just gets ugly. This may or may not work out. Now it feels like all of these guys, and Tate Martell is just the latest, as soon as they see competition that they think or believe or have been told that they can't win, they pull the ripcord, they jump into the transfer protocol, and they head somewhere else. And it's disappointing to me. It really is. Because competition is what makes you great. If you're just given the job, and fortunately for Tate Martell, and I guess unfortunately for the University of Miami, he will just be given this job. They've been in QB purgatory for the last couple of years, and they need someone who can give them some excitement or give them some potential or a high ceiling. As much as I liked Malik Rozier a couple of years ago, he just was bad. He was terrible. So Miami, desperate, hey, come on, we'll take you with open arms, Tate Martell, come on. We don't care what's going on behind this system that the NCAA has created. We need him. We need him. But I'm worried for Tate Martell. I am. He lost the competition last year at Ohio State to Dwayne Haskins. He didn't even want to try to compete against Justin Fields, who transferred in to Ohio State after realizing he couldn't beat out or would not beat out Jake Fromm for the starting job at Georgia. He didn't even try. So he wants to be handed. He wants to be handed success. You know why? Because if I'm handed success and I excel at the University of Miami, I'm going to get drafted in the first round in 2 years or 3 years or whatever it may be and make my $20 million a year. I hate this. I really, really hate this. It's different for running backs, but my personal experience is whenever they brought somebody in to try to take my job, it made me work harder, and it made me the player that I am. The NCAA has a problem. Maybe it's a good problem, but they have a problem because free agency is starting to dominate the QB markets in college football, and I don't think that's a good thing in the long run, not just for the kids, but also for the programs. D-Cell, I'm sorry for you. As much as I want Tate Martell to be a success for you at the University of Miami, I just don't think the kid wants to compete, and that's not good for anybody. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Tell me what you think. You care? You care that these kids are transferring all over the place every year? The NCAA transfer protocol is ridiculously full. Ridiculously full every year. And the NCAA, if they find a documented excuse, that's going to hurt the health or the well-being of the kid, they're going to let you leave. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Competition is what makes sports great. These kids seemingly don't want to compete. Coming up on the other side of our break, we're going to talk to former Dodger great World Series champion Steve Garvey. There's so much going on out on the West Coast with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He also played for the Padres, so we'll get his take on Manny Machado's new home and whether or not he, and I guess some others that they'll bring in, can lift the Padres out of the doldrums that they've been in. That and a whole lot more coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. When it's time to make a hire for your small business, you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn makes it easy to match with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn uses knowledge of both hard and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than just a resume. They're based on skills and backgrounds, interests, activities, and passions, so you get a group of the most relevant, qualified candidates for your role. That way, you can focus on the candidates you want to spend time talking to and make a quality hire that you're excited about. Customers rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/tiki and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/tiki, T-I-K-I. Terms and conditions apply. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news is a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here. Getting started today on this Wednesday. Had an interesting or strong take on Tate Martell's transfer and the transfer protocol that's taken over the NCAA, especially at the quarterback positions. Guess what? it's all about the money. Not about the money, but obviously about a lot more than money, is the conversation we're going to have with our next guest, Steve Garbey, former Dodgers World Series champion. He is here supporting the Multiple Myeloma Foundation. MyelomaExplained.com is the website, and we'll get to that in a second. And Steve, thanks for joining us again. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Always great to be with you. And of course, a special time of the year for us old ball players.
Yeah.
You know, you get the crack of the bats getting louder, and next Thursday everything starts all over again.
Yeah, no, you're right. The first game was obviously last night, or actually this morning in Japan.
Yeah, you're right now. They start overseas first.
I know, right? With the Mariners besting the A's. But before we get to all of this, baseball and what's happening with your Dodgers, former team, the Dodgers, and even the Padres with their big signing, congratulations to your daughter, Olivia. We just saw this news. She's the new sports reporter at NBC in Palm Springs. I mean, you got to be extraordinarily proud of her.
Well, all of a sudden, within 6 weeks, I'm Olivia Garvey's dad, and proud of it. She's got a bunch of kids, and she's the one that wanted to go into acting and went to our University of Arizona and then went to L.A. for the cattle calls and decided that wasn't for her. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't that type of kid. You know, heavy in sports, baseball in particular, went back to Arizona State and journalism school there. And all of a sudden, she got an intern job at Spectrum, Time Warner, and then worked for the Dodgers in spring training for 2 years. And then got a chance to work with NFL Network out here in Los Angeles and worked on the Red Zone.
Oh, nice.
And learned how to edit and tape and produce and spent 2 years there and had a resume out because the whole idea was to build this understanding of the business from the back of the house forward.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how important that is.
Of course.
And she got a call to meet with the news director at NBC Palm Springs. And 20 minutes later, she was the new sports anchor, and she's been at it 6 weeks. And she's doing great. She's got 10,000 new grandparents out here in the Coachella Valley.
And
you know,
it.
She's building a career. You know what that's like.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I do.
Yeah,
I just, I just wanted to congratulate you on that because that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, obviously, a lot of people who are former athletes, their kids go on and do different things, and sometimes we don't really pay attention to it. There's a lot of pressure on them, to be honest with you. So she's excelling. So that's awesome. I just wanted to tell you.
Well,
so
she's learning the fundamentals, but the most important thing, and like the news director says, she has the one thing I can't teach, and that's the camera loves her.
It
loved her mother, and it's loving her, and hopefully they'll take care of me someday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll stop, Steve. As we were saying before you came on, I was like, dude, this guy's a good-looking man, Steve Garvey.
Oh, my God.
You've always have been. Look, Steve, let's move on to baseball before we get really distracted by the accolades.
Well, let's talk about multiple myeloma first.
Yeah, let's do that.
The whole thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because I did an event for a Multiple Myeloma Foundation here in New York, and it was one of the more moving events that I did. It was years ago, but I didn't really know a lot about it, and I learned a lot about it, but explain this to us because I know that you had relatives that passed away from myeloma, and this is important for you. So multiple myeloma or MyelomaExplained.com is the website. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah. Contacted last spring, I think, from the wonderful people at Amgen, one of the world's leading biopharmaceutical companies on the cutting edge of all this oncology work. And, they wanted to focus on multiple myeloma, so they came up with this wonderful program called Myeloma MVP, Most Valuable Plan. And the key component of this whole awareness campaign is MyelomaExplained.com, which is a site to go to and a guide so that the patients and loved ones and caretakers and members of the medical profession can go there and build a team. And you know how important a team is, whether it's on the field of play or at our home, or when we have to address these very, very serious illnesses in life. And so we created this Myeloma MVP in coordination with Major League Baseball, MLB Network, Internet, and Don Baylor Jr., Don Baylor's son, and unfortunately we lost Don to multiple myeloma 2 years ago. Dave Winfield and myself comprised the disciples, so to speak, and we rolled out the campaign last All-Star, and it's been going strong. And we have meetings periodically to monitor how things are going, and I no less than 25 times.
Yeah.
I travel a lot at airports and hotels and wherever I may be. People come up. We love the campaign. Most importantly, we now know more about it, and we can help a loved one. I found out I have it. Now I have a place to go that's helping me get peace of mind dealing with this blood cancer that's so very, very serious and doesn't have an answer to it.
Yeah.
So the campaign is ongoing. Amgen's committed to it. The three of us obviously are. And, you know, that's the reason we're doing this campaign now. It's spring training. It's March. It's multiple myeloma month. So it's a great time to talk about where to go and how to address this disease.
Yeah, well, a tip of the cap to you and Amgen. You can find information, because information is key to all of these things. Don't be afraid to ask the question. www.myelomaexplained.com. We're talking to Steve Garvey, former Dodgers, a great World Series champion. Let me start with one of your other teams, though, the Padres. They signed this offseason Manny Machado, and we know he was one of the more sought-after free agents this offseason. It took a long time for it to happen. He finally signed a huge deal with him. How quickly does that pay off for the Padres?
Well, you know, you have to have the talent. You know, baseball is the only sport where they don't have to let you play with the ball. So as good as he is, they can pitch around you, right?
Yeah.
They intentionally walk you. A guy like Barry Bonds, you know, during his prime there, you'd see two pitches a game and two intentional walks. So the Padres, because they struggled the last 6-8 years at least, they've gotten high draft choices, high-quality young players, the minor league systems in the top five. I think there are probably four players ready to emerge in the major leagues now. It's going to take them a little while to gel, but now they have that centerpiece in Manny. Committed to at least 5 years, because there's an opt-out clause, but for 5 years now, he's going to be more or less the face of the organization.
Yeah.
Be expected to contribute what's expected of him. But the young players, one of the important things is for him to work with these kids on and off the field to teach them what this, you know, this game is all about at the highest level. And it takes time to understand how to manage yourself on and off the field, prepare for the game, travel, you know, deal with injuries, deal with streaks, press, all that stuff. So I think he'll be a multiple asset. But the most important thing is got to get a guy that's going to protect him, you know, so that he can get up and do what he has to do.
Yeah. No, look, and we're starting to see some of these deals. His deal was 10 years, $300 million. Bryce Harper signed 13 for $330. Obviously, yesterday we had the big extension with Mike Trout for 10 years and then 360, obviously, ultimately 12 and 430. But when you see these big numbers, it's just like me when I see them in football. I'm like, man, I'm too old, right?
wish we were born.
Exactly. Can I be born 20 years later? But do you think it's worth it, you know, for all this money? I know the revenues are growing in the league, but is it really worth it to pay a guy that much money, $30 plus million a year?
God bless America. God bless capitalism, supply and demand, supply side economics. You got to always remember, we know this, it's the entertainment business.
Yeah.
If an actor gets paid $25 million for 6 weeks' work and a baseball player gets paid $30 for essentially six regular, you know, season months and hopefully in October and a month and a half in spring training, and the owner feels that he's worth it to him, then that's what it's all about. The economics of sports over the last, say, 30 years now, with the immersion of cable television and then the internet and a variety of new ways to get streaming the game, you know, it's just what the market bears. It's funny, you know, all of a sudden Manny gets 300, blink of an eye. Bryce Harper gets 330, you know, five more than Stanton, blink of an eye later, now it's 430.
Yeah.
You know, but if you look at the Angels, they really need Mike Trout as the face of the organization. And obviously, he's been a tremendous contributor going forward. You know, they're going to probably have a new stadium in the next 4 or 5 years. And having him as the cornerstone is just good for business and good for the entertainment business for the Angels.
Yeah, I think you're right. Being in Los Angeles, even more so. We're talking to Steve Garvey, yeah. Garvey, former Dodgers World Series champion here on Tiki and Tierney. Now, you bring up Mike Trout and the Angels, and Obviously, you're a former Dodger, so you know how much they sell and how big they are, being in the World Series, although on the losing end for the last two seasons. Is Mike Trout big enough? Is his brand, is his star shiny enough to take over what the Dodgers are doing? Or will ultimately team success determine where people's eyes and, I guess, wallets go to?
Well, it's interesting. The only, if anybody was to have, and I've listened to this recently and for quite a while now, what's the one drawback to Mike Trout?
Yeah.
Well, the drawback just happens to be he's a nice young man, conversational, but not the type of kid that wants to go out and promote that much. Mm-hmm. He does his talking on the field, and so be it. You know, we're all different personalities. I understood the game. I was a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers when I was young. I loved the history of it. When I made it, I wanted to promote the game and the Dodgers and the Padres. You know, he's not quite like that. Harper's, you know, better at that. Other guys are better than that. Most guys nowadays, because of economics, just don't want to really deal with the public that much. Let me do my job. But at a time where all of these sports, football, basketball, hockey, soccer now, are competing for the entertainment dollar, it's important that certain guys have to get out there and promote the game.
Yeah.
And he's going to do that in his way, and it's going to be fine, charming, because, you know, he's from the East Coast, the Phillies fan and so forth, but he is the face of the Angels. And now, if he was in Los Angeles, you know, 30 miles down the road, might be a little different.
Yeah.
You know, the lights are brighter.
Yeah.
Down in Newport and Anaheim, it's a little quieter, more laid back. Like when I went from the Dodgers to the Padres to San Diego. I mean, I wore Bermuda shorts and a linen shirt to the game. You know?
Yeah, it's chill. I just watched one of the great places in the country.
You know?
I tell you.
Well, I do five or six interviews before the game, and I go down to San Diego, and I do one or two. I actually had a 15-minute pregame show at 6 o'clock at night. Yeah, it's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
And I did interview the guy from the other team. But that's the difference between the laid-back environment and the bright lights of New York and Los Angeles and even Chicago.
Yeah, no, we always talk about an East Coast bias, but with the Dodgers being as good as they have been, and now Mike Trout,
yeah,
hopefully, and Shohei Ohtani with the Angels increasing the profile, and Manny Machado down in San Diego, the West Coast is going to get a ton of attention. Steve, I appreciate you hopping on with us again.
Sure.
Again, the website for myeloma, multiple myeloma month, and it's very refreshing to see you guys getting out and doing a lot of this work to get people information. It's myelomaexplained.com. Go check it out. It's obviously a blood disease that affects a lot of people, especially elderly individuals, and having as much information as possible is beneficial. And again, congratulations to your daughter, Olivia. Continued success to her as well. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Piggy Semper Fi. Thank you so much for sharing myeloma with us.
My pleasure. Okay. Be well. Steve Garvey. He's one of a kind. He's such a good-looking dude. And his daughter, as Samter and I were looking at some articles and photos, is a good-looking gal as well. Success to both of them. Let's get an update from Richard Ackerman on the backside. We'll get inbounds and out of bounds. An update. Catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness, Thursday through Sunday on CBS and the Turner Networks, with coverage beginning each day at noon Eastern on CBS. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Just a heads up to all of our TV viewers today. Just like yesterday, CBS Sports Network, our television simulcast, will be leaving us at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can stay there for NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown as you all start to think about filling out your brackets. The experts at CBS Sports Network will give you the insights that you need. Then maybe you can enter Warren Buffett's $1 million, not just a one-time, but $1 million a year for a lifetime, a challenge for the perfect bracket. You know what? I think people should just do that just once. Even if you have no idea what you're doing, just randomly put in a bracket into Warren Buffett's $1 million for a year for a lifetime NCAA bracket challenge. Just because. maybe you get lucky. But you can find all of that information on the bracket, on our bracket challenge on Facebook, right, Twitter, and on Twitter as well, right, Samter?
If you go to our Twitter page at Tiki and Tierney or Facebook, facebook.com/Tiki and Tierney, the link is right there.
Good.
To get into our bracket challenge.
Is it pinned? Is it pinned?
It is pinned.
Excellent.
It is pinned. And if you win this year, as in the last 3 years, the winner gets to host a segment with you and Brandon.
I love it. I love it. Either remotely from your couch or you can come in studio if you're in the local area. Our Tiki and Tierney bracket challenge. All the brackets are due at noon tomorrow afternoon ahead of the start of the college basketball tournament game. So check it out. Tiki and Tierney's bracket challenge due at noon tomorrow. You can find all the information on Facebook or Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Let me get a call real quick. Let's go to Kevin, who wants to talk about kids being able to transfer. Kevin is down in Florida. I can't. It's not working on my end, Samter. Can you click that? Welcome to CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Kevin, what do you think, man?
Hey, yeah, man, the coach can transfer at any time. Why can't the kid?
Yeah, but the kid is it's not necessarily about him transferring, right? I get that. I understand if the circumstances are bad. And I think in Tate Martell's case, and I do a sportsman on this next hour, I kind of agree with him. Like the nonsense that Urban Meyer put that whole program through last year and the fact that he left, it creates an healthy environment for someone who went there simply to be with Urban Meyer. So I guess his grievance is okay. My problem is more with the fact that these kids don't want to like compete. They don't want the challenge of having another blue chipper or five-star quarterback in the quarterback room with them. And I get it. Right, it's the path of least resistance to the National Football League, where the prospects of making $25+ million a year is scintillating. All right, can you imagine if you're good enough at one of these major programs, and there's only like four or five of them, where you have a great career, you get ranked highly in the draft, you get drafted in the first round, you get picked to a team that puts you in the right position. In 5 or 6, 7, 8 years after you get through your fifth year option, you're making money for eons. I mean, you have so much money you can't even think about it. So I get it. It just frustrates me that kids don't want to compete anymore. Competition is the lifeblood of sports, and guys don't want to do it anymore. They run from it, and I don't like guys that run from competition. Sam, are you ready for Inbounds and Out of Bounds? Let's do it.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Number one, the Oakland Raiders have been busy this offseason, adding Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, and LaMarcus Joyner, all before next month's draft, in which they have 3 first-round picks. Now the Raiders have struck again, adding off-suspended former Bengals and Sun Devils, let's go ASU tonight, linebacker Vontaze Burfict. If you remember, one of Burfict's most controversial plays was a nasty, dirty hit on Antonio Brown back in the 2015 playoffs that left Brown unconscious on the field and started a feud between the Steelers and Burfict that led to Juju Smith-Schuster's crushing hit on Burfict that was illegal and got him suspended and fined and just led to other and on-field instances. Now, Burfict has said that he's cool with AB, but who knows if AB's cool with him. Inbounds, out of bounds. Teams should always consult with their stars before bringing in a hated rival.
I'm going to say inbounds for this, but this is a unique circumstance because the Oakland Raiders are newly learning Antonio Brown. Obviously, they're newly learning Vontaze Burfict as well. But they should consult, because if it's going to be a bad locker room situation, you don't want that to happen. But this case, it's different because they're both new there. And as soon as they're teammates, I'm sure they will clear the air or not, maybe get in a fight. But whatever happens, they'll clear the air between them and they'll be good for it. Luckily, they're on opposite sides of the ball. They won't have to see each other that regularly, except in training camp when the ones go against the ones, the 1-0 goes against the 1-D, and they shouldn't interact. But I'm going to say inbounds. I remember when Kerry Collins who was going through some difficulties early in his career, was brought in. Ernie Accorsi sat down with a few of the vets and had a conversation with him, with us, about him. And one of the things he said was, don't prejudge him until you meet him. And once we did, we fell in love with Kerry, and he was awesome for us. Took us to a Super Bowl that didn't end well, but he took us there. So I'm going to say inbound. I think owners and – not owners, really, but GMs and personnel people, if a guy is established star, and you want to bring in a controversial or, I don't know, maybe contentious rival, you should consult with him. So inbound.
Are you in or are you out?
Yesterday, rumors surfaced that Clippers head coach Doc Rivers would have interest in coaching the Lakers. Rivers, as we know, is in his sixth season at the helm for the Clippers and just tallied his 300th win in L.A., becoming just the seventh coach in NBA history to achieve that feat with two different franchises, obviously the Celtics. However, before the Clippers beat the Pacers last night, Doc, of course, had to address the reports.
The Lakers have a coach, number one, and I'm going nowhere. I can tell you that. Straight and up front, I'm going to be here until Steve says get out.
Steve, meeting Steve Ballmer. Doc followed up by announcing that he and the owner, Steve Ballmer, had verbally agreed earlier in this season to terms on an extension to stay with the Clippers. So inbounds, out of bounds. The Clippers are a better coaching job projecting for the next three seasons than the Lakers.
This is a tough one because LeBron is with the Lakers. But I'm going to say inbounds. Look, the Lakers have obviously issues right now. You have a very young team. There's chemistry concerns right now with LeBron and a group that's not veteran enough to accept and or understand his ways of mixing business with execution on the court. And so that could be dysfunctional, not just for the remainder of this year, the 12 or so games that are left, but also into next year. Whereas in the Clippers, it's somewhat of a cleaning slate. They're going to likely make the postseason. And Doc Rivers feels like he's comfortable there. And at the end of the day, it's about comfort and ownership that has a plan. The Clippers have been executing a plan since the beginning of the season. They surprised us all at the very beginning. So I'm going to say the Clippers are the better situation for Doc Rivers. He doesn't want to put his head into the mess that's happening with the Lakers right now.
Are you in or are you out?
Yesterday and even earlier today, we discussed at length the Angels' monster deal with Mike Trout, despite the fact that two-time MVP having 2 years remaining on his contract. Mm-hmm. Now the focus turns to reigning AL MVP Mookie Betts, who's playing on a one-year deal worth $20 million that he signed last year to avoid arbitration. Reports out of Boston, however, say Betts will not sign an extension before the season and will test free agency next year. In or out, the Red Sox should do what the Angels did and lock Betts into an above-market deal before he hits the open market.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Mookie Betts is a star. He's young, he's athletic, he's great for baseball because he's a minority in a town that often gets a bad rap about that. I would love to see him be a Red Sox for life, and if the Red Sox are smart, they'll keep this guy around. And look, this is happening. This trend is going on in baseball, where you don't want your guys to get to free agency. One, because then you lose absolute control. And Sam Tua was just telling us his story. We didn't have a chance to get into the inbounds. And who's the kid that just signed this ridiculous deal? Hasn't even played.
Well, it's not officially signed, but it's looking like it's close. It's Eloy Jimenez, the top prospect for the White Sox.
He's not even played a game in the majors yet.
And he's about to get an 8-year, close to $80 million contract.
Wow.
But if he ends up being as good as expected, I mean, that $10 million a year until he's 30 years old is a monster win for the White Sox.
I don't know if he should sign it. I mean, they jack around with you with service time and everything else, but he'd be heading towards free agency by 26, maybe 27. I wouldn't do that if I was him.
Are you in or are you out?
Last one, the Texas Longhorns had another disappointing hoop season, finishing 16-16 and missing the NCAA tournament for the second time in head coach Shaka Smart's 4 seasons. Smart came to Austin with high expectations after helping VCU explode onto the scene with 5 tournament bids, including a Final Four appearance in 2011. After yesterday's NIT win over South Dakota State, Smart acknowledged that he's likely on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
And though despite the on-court struggles, Smart has had three straight top 10 recruiting classes and ranks 13th this year. In or out, if Smart doesn't win at least one tournament game next year, Texas should move on from Shaka.
Yeah, I think they should. At the end of the day, it's about results. And you've been there for four seasons now, and you get to your fifth season and you're not, you know, above 500 competing for the conference championship and getting to the NCAA tournament and winning a game, then you and especially with the recruiting classes he's had, then that means something's awry. So I think the answer to this is inbounds. Shaka Smart is a better we thought he was a better coach than what he's put out there so far in the 4 years that he's been down in Texas. He's got to flip the switch or flip the script on what's happening.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, television, CBS Sports Network viewers, we will see you tomorrow. Depending on what happens with St. John's in Arizona State, BT may or may not be back, but I will be here. On the other side of this 4 o'clock break, I'm going to talk about James Harden again, stud.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.